Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code Howie10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. It's the Grace Curley Show, live from the Aviva Trattoria Studios. The new Aviva is opening in Malden on Wednesday, June 16th. Visit avivatrattoria.com/Malden. Now, here's Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. What a day. We've covered so much. I'm looking right now at Senator Tom Cotton. He's talking about how Fauci needs to go and how the media blew it once again. I think it was Ken Delanian from NBC. He said the narrative, you know what? I'm not going to try to summarize the brilliance of an expert on cable news. I'm going to let Ken say it himself. Cut 24, please.
This remains an issue of controversy, but the narrative we thought we knew is not the reality.
The narrative we thought we knew turned out to be a bunch of BS. You don't say. What is that, the 85th, 86th time that's happened to you guys?
That's like saying, I believe because I know.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly what they're saying.
It really does make you think of the George Costanza, which is not true. George tells Jerry it's not a lie if you believe it. But at CNN and MSNBC, they've really gone with that narrative that if we believe it enough, we can beat the lie detector test. And that's just not the way it is. And what's ended up happening is rather than face the music and deal with, you know, their errors and their bad judgment, a lot of people, the truly Trump deranged, this is when you separate the men from the boys. You know, Chuck Todd will have Ken Delanian on and say, listen, we messed this up. And, you know, he'll try to avoid it, but he'll try to move on from it. But then you have a different level. You have the Joe Scarborough level where it's like, no. I'm not going to admit at all that I messed this up. I'm going to laugh like a complete psychopath and I'm going to dig deeper into this. Cut 13, please.
You know, the headlines from some of our friends and the panting and heavy breathing after this IG report came out is laughable.
The panting and heavy breathing, like the ones you just did right before you started talking. Him and Fauci, some weird noises coming out of these Trump deranged liberals. Speaking of Dr. Fauci, before I get to the subject I wanted to ask you guys about today, I do want to play a little bit of Senator John Kennedy. He never ceases to impress me with all of his analogies and his little sayings. He really knows how to stick it to the libs. Listen to what he said to Sean Hannity last night, cut 22.
Sean, every time I'm asked about Dr. Fauci, I say the same thing. I know Dr. Fauci. I like Dr. Fauci. I respect Dr. Fauci. But Dr. Fauci needs to cut the crap. This isn't about Dr. Fauci. It's not about his feelings. And I'm sorry if his feelings were hurt. You know, maybe he ought to buy an emotional support pony. But we're not debating dance moves on TikTok here. We're talking about millions of human lives. And here's what we know. Dr. Fauci gave a lot of U.S. taxpayer money to the Wuhan lab for Chinese scientists to research bat coronaviruses. Neither Dr. Fauci nor any of his people can guarantee us that the Chinese scientists didn't use that money to do gain-of-function research and turn a normal virus into a supercharged virus.
I do have an emotional support pony, actually, for your information, but I can't find my pony's mask. So I'm nervous about the droplets.
Must be a Shetland pony, I assume.
All right. So another topic I wanted to discuss a little bit here, and we're going to keep the phone lines open for all of our listeners. There's a piece in the Epoch Times, and it's titled, "People Leaving Blue States Advise Those Who Remain, Start Making Better Decisions on Who You Vote For." I talk about this a lot. I live in a blue state. I'm in Massachusetts, home to Elizabeth Warren, Ayanna Pressley, the ice cream man, Mr. Frosty, Ed Markey. The list goes on and on. And in fact, even people who you don't associate with Massachusetts, they probably have some connection to this beautiful state. But there are a lot of people in my life who are moving away, whether it's right next door, whether they're going to New Hampshire. We run into people all the time at our events from New Hampshire who come up to me and they brag. They say, "I used to live in Massachusetts." And then they get this evil smile on their face and they say, "And now I'm in New Hampshire. And it's awesome." And I'm like, okay, thanks. I'm still here. I'm still in Massachusetts. But there are a lot of people who are moving to Florida, to Texas. And the common theme I hear is for people who own property in these places, when they see people moving in from New York, from California, from Massachusetts, they think to themselves, oh, for the love of God, please do not bring your voting habits with you. Because there's a reason your state looks the way it does. And in this piece, I'm going to read you guys a little bit here. I'll jump around. But I guess my real question for everyone is, if you do live in a blue state and you're like me, what is the part of it that if you were to move, if that's a fantasy of yours, what's the thing that's really pushing you out? Is it the taxes? Is it the homelessness? Is it the lawn signs? The lawn signs for me, I know that sounds stupid, but they drive me crazy. Hate has no home here. You know, one of my favorite writers from Red State, Kira Davis, she wrote this piece about how those lawn signs are so stupid because the same people who have the "hate has no home here" signs hate people. Like, they would definitely hate me. You know, they say "hate has no home here." But if they saw me walk by with a Trump hat, they'd hiss and boo at me. And naturally, those same people on Twitter freaked out when they saw her column. How dare you? But the lawn signs, they drive me nuts. The virtue signaling, the mask wearing. There's so many things. The list goes on and on. So if you have something that I'm missing, the taxes, again, that's a huge one for people. 844-500-4242. Or I'm going to throw out another option. If you left a blue state, what's your favorite part about being in a red state? And that brings me to this piece right here. Florida was the number one relocation destination for Americans in 2020, according to move.org. New York and California took first and second place in the contest for which states had the most people choosing to leave. So Governor Andrew Cuomo couldn't keep his constituents happy, and neither could Governor Hairgel. All righty. So just so everyone can keep track. Justin Pearson is a 27-year-old truck loader for a Target distribution center. A resident of California for 22 years, Pearson moved to the town of Riverside for another 3 years until the dramatic change in policies and rising cost of living made it impossible for him to live on his own. There was also no way he could afford to buy his own home, he said. In order to survive at all, he fled to Lake City, Florida. While the national average in property taxes is 1.07%, Floridians pay only 0.83%, and Californians pay even less, 0.73%. But Pearson said the cost of everything else in California erased the benefit of lower property taxes. Additionally, Florida is one of the only 9 states in the country that has no state income or wage taxes. With the COVID restrictions, a lot of the businesses closed, Pearson told the Epoch Times. In turn, that caused an increase in homelessness. Then the governor enacted the $0 bail policy and an early prison release program, which caused the crime rate to skyrocket. Gas taxes were added. We have that to look forward to here in this blue state. The cost of living was so high you could not get by if you were single. You literally had to have 2 or 3 incomes in order to make it. I'm going to continue with this. He goes into critical race theory. He goes into politicians not backing the blue, an anti-riot bill. There's a lot of different elements. I want to hear from you guys. I see the phone lines lighting up. 844-500-4242. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier. Jared, why do people need it, though? That's the question.
because it takes care of all the nasty pollen in the air, irritants, pollutants, viruses, anything in there that makes your throat scratchy, makes your nose stuffed up, makes your eyes watery, all of it get gone with the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, because you just plug it in, you turn it on, and it ionizes the air around you, which creates a super oxygen, which again is a scientific way of saying you are breathing clean air, and that is huge if you have allergies.
And it's so small, it's so lightweight, it's so quiet. You're going to see this and go, there's no way it can do all that, but it really does. It's small, but it's very powerful. Many use it to remove pet smells, for pollen, pet, kitchen, musty basements, tobacco, or any unwanted odors. You need the Thunderstorm. Right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE10 and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE10 at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE10. We will take all of your calls on this on the other side. 844-500-4242. Are you leaving a blue state? Are you still in a blue state? And why are you still there? What do you like the most about the red states? What's drawing you out of your state right now? I got a whole list, and I want to go over it with you guys. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on the other side. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back. I just read an article. I have more to read from it. People leaving blue states advise those who remain, start making better decisions on who you vote for. In other words, don't take your voting habits with you if you decide to leave this hellhole like we are. Al, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Al.
Hey, Grace. So I unfortunately live outside of Portland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. We moved here probably about 16, 17 years ago because of work. And I can't wait till I'm able to retire and move out of the state. It used to be pretty nice here, but man, it's insane. You take the insanity of Massachusetts, wrap in a little bit of the insanity in New York, sprinkle a little bit of New Jersey, and then you've got the Portland metro area. It's just nuts here.
Al, where do you think you'll go after?
Looking at Arizona or Idaho.
Now, do other people around you feel the same way? Do you have like-minded people who think, oh my gosh, we got to get out of here as soon as we can?
Nope. Keep my mouth shut around people around here.
That's probably a good idea. Thanks for the call, Al. Yeah. I really appreciate it. That totally makes sense. I mean, there's a couple spots in this country where the media will tell you everything's fine, you know? In fact, every time I read like a ranking list, they always put these crazy cities at the top. This is the best place for mothers to live, new mothers. And I'm thinking, I don't really want to be strolling my baby around the Chaz zone, but thanks. Jerry, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. What do you got, Jerry?
Well, I'm looking at a list here where the small business, the states with the most small businesses went out of business.
Yeah.
And Massachusetts is fourth with 41.7% small businesses lost during this pandemic. It's funny, all of them are in the Northeast except for Illinois and California. And the reason they don't aren't higher is because, you know, they're financial centers and they have access to they have money where they can, weather the storm. And my problem with this is, what's Massachusetts going to be like? What kind of devious ways are they going to come up with the revenue loss that they have here? Are they going to have speed traps? Are they going to weaponize the law? Are they going to, they're not going to sit down and say, well, this, taxes, I don't think you saw anything. And one other thing that surprised me, Maine is at the top of the list. Now, I know it's a big state and all the rest. I mean, it's a small state and the rest of it, but it's 44.3% of small businesses that went out of business. 44.3%. How much revenue is that? That's a small state.
Yeah. And Jerry, something you just hit on, you know, what's Massachusetts going to be like? It is the bar tab theory. Eventually, people are not going to want to pick up the tab for everyone. And when these politicians make these decisions to destroy their economies, to shut everything down, they don't turn around and say, you know what, we really screwed people over for a long time. Maybe we shouldn't put in a tax for global warming, or we shouldn't, you know, do this or that. But they still do it. They don't care. They really don't care. They're going to keep taxing you. And the only time that they'll throw their hands up and say, it's private sector stuff, make your own decisions, is if you get hacked. Then they want nothing to do with you. But until then, they will really just ruin you to get a couple pennies more on the dollar of taxes. Like, they will keep going with this. And I think you make a great point. There's no shortage of devious ways that they'll make up for any losses. I totally agree with you on that. And I always think about, too, it's one thing when people leave, but it's also, who's going to start restaurants here? When you think of all the restaurants that shut down, it's heartbreaking. There's so many. Some of my favorites, Cafe Bella, Riva, I've said those before, but some really awesome places. But then I think of kids my age, you know, and people who normally would go to New York or go to, you know, New York City or maybe Boston to start restaurants. Who in their right mind would start one here now? Everyone's going to all these fancy New York City restaurants. You know where they're opening up new spots? Palm Beach. Because they know they have a reputation with their clientele who's also moved to Palm Beach, and then they can survive there. But if you're a young entrepreneur, you're not saying to yourself, I'm going to go to Bill de Blasio's backyard and start up a restaurant. Him and Cuomo are really going to treat me like a VIP. No, you're paying for everyone and everything, and you get treated like absolute crap. Thank you for the call. 844-500-4242. Before we get back to the calls on this, blue states, red states, what are you doing? What's your future hold? I oftentimes think of kids my age who haven't started families yet. Because that's a big decision. And I think a lot of people are going to start saying, you know, I could drive to New Hampshire, buy a house there and raise my kids there and get out of this craziness before, you know, I have a bunch of kids and I have to kind of uproot them. I think a lot of people think in that mindset as well. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who's most in denial about the Lafayette Park IG report? Jim Acosta or Joe Scarborough?
Joe Scarborough. The laugh gave him away.
Joe Scarborough has taken the lead, 52% to 48%.
All right, now back to the story here. People leaving blue states advise those who remain, start making better decisions on who you vote for. A specific motivator in Justin Pearson's decision to choose Florida was his deep respect for Governor Ron DeSantis because of his moves to ban critical race theory, to enact an anti-riot bill, and his unapologetic position of backing the blue. Pearson also admires the widely criticized decision by DeSantis to lift all COVID restrictions, which he believes are killing California. There's a lot of people who feel the same way, and they want to go somewhere where the politicians either mind their own business and stay out of their way or try to help them, but not try to tax them and try to dictate what they do and try to tell them how much plexiglass to buy and try to tell them how late they can stay open. People just don't like that. And another thing this guy points out, which I find very interesting, is that he thinks that when you're in Florida, the people are friendlier. And I usually hate that kind of stuff because I feel like people always say that from whatever state they're from. Like, you meet someone from Alabama, oh, we're all friendlier down south, you know. But as someone who spent some time in Florida, people are happy. I mean, you're walking into Publix without a mask on. You're feeling good. It makes sense that people have a little pep in their step. You know, you don't have to listen to the Charlie Baker press conferences. All right, I see you guys on the line. Do not go anywhere. We'll take your calls on the other side. 844-500-4242. Are you moving out of a blue state? Do you know somebody who did? Are you crazy jealous? That's what we're talking about, and we'll get to your calls on the other side. It to me, I keep hearing about this more and more from people. And it's not just a fantasy anymore. People are actually doing it. They're saying, I hate this state, and I don't want to live here anymore. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining me. We're just having a conversation about red states versus blue states. I tend to have these conversations with people a lot when I go on remotes with Howie. We go to New Hampshire. We go to other places where people are just, you know, they just say to us, they say, how do you do it? How do you survive the craziness of Massachusetts? And a lot of times we just say, we don't know. I mean, Howie gets to leave for half the year and go to Florida. But I often don't know how people do it. Ed, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ed.
Hi, Grace. Hey, I'd like to talk about, see, I moved from New York in 72, mm-hmm. As blue could be. And I've been living in Maine ever since. And what I've noticed is a slow migration of people who bring their values with them. I guess maybe I'm one of the exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
But I had one of the biggest thorns in my side that I've found is it concerns ranked choice voting that's gone up in Portland.
Yeah,
which is it's basically a scheme that just to disconnect elections from the issues and allows these candidates with marginal support from voters to win. There was actually someone who won who has like less than 9%. I think it was like 4% of the vote beat someone who had 32. Now, it obscures true debates by issue-driven dialogues among candidates, eliminates genuine binary choices between two top-tier candidates. But most important, it disenfranchises voters because ballots that do not include the two ultimate finalists are cast aside to manufacture a full majority of the winner. So, these reformers who have gradually come up the coast. And now it's turning. It used to be a red state when I initially came here. It's now blue. And these reformers have devised this to tinker with and manipulate our elections. And it's called ranked choice voting or instant runoff. But it's actually a scheme to disconnect the elections from issues and allows candidates with marginal support from voters to win elections.
Yeah, and Ed, that's what happened to Bruce Pollock when in Maine. And I guess maybe, and it does come down to a lot of this, is that if they know their policies can't win, if they know their agenda is scaring people or their results are not happening and that people are kind of catching on to their destructive policies, they have to change the game. You know, they have to change the rules. And it's the same reason why absentee voting and, you know, mail-in voting was the rage. Because of COVID. Now I'm using air quotes. It wasn't because of COVID, but that's what they said, because they couldn't stand the fact that maybe people would just vote for the person who helped their wallet or who helped, you know, their security. They wanted to be convinced that people were voting morally and with their conscience. And so they changed the rules, and they do that all the time with everything. When they can't win, they change the rules. And when they do win, you can't even look close to the rules. You cannot question the rules. The rules are the rules. And if you don't like it, as Joe Scarborough said, you don't love it, leave it. But if Stacey Abrams can't win, then we can look to the rules and maybe change it up for next time.
It's actually interesting that he brought up ranked choice voting, because who better to explain ranked choice voting than Bill de Blasio, who was actually explaining that at his press conference today. Take a listen to this.
Oh, Lord.
Green peppers, ladies and gentlemen, right here, my number one choice. Now, a lot of people don't appreciate green peppers enough. I have Southern Italian roots, roasted peppers are a very big, important part of our life. Number one in a big way for me, okay? I didn't even have to question what my number one vote would be, green peppers. Now, gets a little more interesting here. Where do you go from here? Again, I'm going to lean into my heritage. Number two, olives, okay? This one's a little controversial. Usually it's black olives, could be green olives. Some people think olives belong in a pizza. Some people are really against it, but I have had very good experiences with olives. Now,
I have to say, there are certain people who, if they come out and support you, you're in trouble. And I'm going to give you an example. Representative Lynn Cheney. I know her name is Liz, but Nancy Pelosi, in, you know, vocalizing her support for Lynn, really did destroy Lynn. Because you think to yourself as a conservative, oh my gosh, if Nancy Pelosi, who was set up at the hair salon and eats $15 pints of Jenny's ice cream in her mansion with her, what does she have? She has vineyards. Sub-zero fridges and also sub-zero freezers and also beautiful vineyards on her property. If she's supporting Liz Cheney, then maybe we've gone too far. Maybe we got to pick somebody else. By that same idea, if Bill de Blasio is a big fan of ranked choice voting, I think I know enough about it already. And now I'm going to ask something. I'm scared to ask this because I don't want you to pull up. What I really don't want you to do is pull up that cut of Bill de Blasio eating the French fries.
Got it.
I would not want you to do that because that grosses people out and people shut off their radios. But what I will say, was he eating peppers in this, or was he just using that as an example?
He was actually using it as an example. He did not talk with his mouth full.
And there was no actual peppers or olives around him.
I believe they were prop peppers and olives.
So he did have props. There was a possibility that he was going to crack one of these open and eat on camera again.
Yes.
The guy never learns. Oh my gosh. Well, at least we survived the segment without playing the audio of him eating that cheeseburger. Yikes. But I agree with you on that. I think the voting is a huge issue. I think that for a lot of people, they do learn. And this was actually a positive that came out of people moving. There was some recent studies that said people who leave, who really think about it and make the decision to leave, whether it's California or New York, they usually do figure out in that process that they have to change their ways when it comes to voting. That voting for people like Andrew Cuomo and Governor Gavin Newsom and Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Jerry Nadler, it's not eliciting good results. So, that's what it is. And hopefully if you move somewhere, you don't take your voting habits with you. Jared, before we move on here, I know we played this once, but I think it's the biggest sound cut of the day. So I want to give people a second chance to hear it. Representative Byron Donalds, a black GOP congressman, was talking about how the Black Caucus has denied him entry. And he was on CNN with Breonna Keeler. She's the new star of CNN's lowly rated show, New Day. She took over for Allison Camerota. Jeff Zucker thought she was going to really revive the ratings. That remains to be seen. But she tried to kind of shut down Byron Donalds before he even got started. And the way she did that was she played a montage of Donald Trump. And her strategy was that she was going to say to him, why would the Black Caucus let you in if you support a guy like Donald Trump? And what Byron Donalds did was nothing short of brilliant. I want to play this for you guys one more time.
Do you think that your defense of a person that said things like that might be incongruent with the mission of the CBC?
First of all, whatever the president said in the past, it's nothing to do with this discussion at all. I think
well, you've defended him.
Please don't cut me off. I have not cut you off in this interview. Please do not do that to me. Thank you. As a black man in America, I'm allowed to have my own thoughts on who I choose to support and who I choose not to support. I think that it's important, whether you're talking about the Congressional Black Caucus or the Florida State Legislative Black Caucus or the National Caucus of State Black Legislators, organizations I have been a part of in the past, my support of President Trump has been consistent. But at the same time, I've had the ability to advocate for issues, ideas, proposals, and funding that have helped the black community in my state. You're talking to somebody who my first 3 years in college was at Florida A&M and HBCU. So whether my support for President Trump, whether it's for or against, is irrelevant. That has nothing to do with this discussion. This is whether the ideology of somebody who is conservative is welcome in the Congressional Black Caucus. It's really that simple. And so to bring up President Trump and try to make this about him does not matter. It's irrelevant. It has nothing to do with the situation at hand.
Boom, roasted. That's gotta hurt. Wow. There's nothing like someone on a live TV hit saying, or you know what? Forget the live TV hit. Someone in any factor or facet of your life saying to you, don't interrupt me. That really throws people off.
Speaking of live news, we have an update. Guess who's back on CNN right now?
Joe Scarborough? Joe Biden?
Jeffrey Toobin, back on CNN.
No.
Live.
No.
Yep.
Oh, does he, obvious follow-up, does he have his pants on?
I don't know. They're doing a chest shot up.
They're
He's
doing
definitely
above
got a tie.
The waist, you know, which is smart.
But yes, Toobin is back on CNN.
Well, what is he offering his legal advice on? He's a legal analyst.
On his New Yorker termination and his leave from CNN. I guess this is his Fredo emergence from the basement, second resurrection, mea culpa, I'm back.
I just hope he doesn't talk about the insurrection because people tend to mess up that word. We don't want to go into it.
He's talking with his hands, so they're at least above the desk.
Okay. Speaking of, in the last segment we're talking about people who leave blue states, go to red states. This is a similar story, but it's all happening within one place. Residents of ritzy Atlanta community plagued by violence seek separate police force. And I just want to say there's been a lot of talk about defunding the police. And a lot of people have said, listen, if you do this, the communities that suffer are going to be the minority communities. I remember hearing Charles Barkley say, during one of the basketball games, giving his, you know, what do they call it, Jared? I'm totally bad at this.
The halftime segment?
Yes, the halftime okay. segment. Half-time thank segment. You. Yikes. He just said, who are black people supposed to call? Ghostbusters? And everyone laughed and it was funny, but it's very true. I mean, who are these young black kids supposed to call if they're in trouble if you defund the police? And what actually ends up happening, which a lot of people said, is that white wealthy people are always going to be able to hire private security, hire, you know, whoever to protect them. And that's exactly what's actually happening now. Communities are saying we're going to hire our own separate police force. And it just goes to show you that these ideas, they don't pan out. The frenzied real estate market is causing bidding wars across certain segments. Real estate brokers are holding calls for highest and best offers because demand is so high. How do you as a seller know if you have realized all of the money for your property and if you've sold under the best terms? You wouldn't hire a refrigerator repairman to fix your valuable car. So when selling real estate, let the bidding war experts for over 45 years sell your property quickly, contingency-free, and for true market value. Recent real estate auctions for Howie Carr listeners have attracted as many as 30 qualified cash-ready buyers battling for their properties. At the end of your auction, you will know that no money was left on the table. Remember, when you sell your real estate in the usual way with a broker, you pay the commission. But in a JJ Manning auction, the buyer pays. That saves you, the seller, thousands of dollars right there. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning can get your property sold now. To learn more on how to get your property sold quickly and contingency-free, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Joe Biden gave a speech today, Howie in England. I don't know if you saw that.
I've got all of them. We'll get to all of the cuts.
He says there's going to be no strings attached to these vaccines. Did you think there were going to be strings attached? Again, he's putting down these theories that I never had to begin with.
He can't get it straight. He said that there was a 500,000, and then there were going to be a 500,000,000. And I saw a headline earlier in the day, there were going to be 50 million. So it's somewhere between 5 and 5 trillion vaccines are going out, I think. And incidentally, today was the first day I ever saw in a headline, some of the British Pauls, the Tories, were calling him senile. And so I immediately opened that story because I said, is someone saying that on the record? Not quite yet. But give it another couple of months.
That wouldn't fly here. That would not fly.
Oh no, you would be canceled instantaneously.
Yeah,
faster than Byron Donalds.
Just like the IG. So I want to ask you about that, Howie. The IG report came out. It turns out that when they cleared out Lafayette Park last year, it was not for a Trump photo op. It was actually for a fence that they were installing, and it had been planned way before Trump. And Jim Acosta ripped into the IG and said he was auditioning to be Inspector General at Mar-a-Lago. What do you think about that?
Mar-a-Lago!
All I can say is you were comparing Scarborough and Acosta. I have seen Joe Scarborough sucking down distilled spirits at the bar at Mar-a-Lago. I've never seen Jim Acosta doing that.
Well, the funny thing about Joe Scarborough is...
I think he was running a tab, too. And the tab was never presented to him. That's the best way to run a tab, isn't it?
Do you remember Joe Scarborough had the portrait of Bob Mueller and he installed it in his kitchen? He unwrapped a portrait of Bob Mueller because he was so enamored by him.
I have a portrait of Gunnar, my dog, in my kitchen.
Well, that makes more sense. But now I'm wondering, would he have had a portrait of this IG in his kitchen had the results been different?
I don't know. You know who had the best story on this, though, is Glenn Greenwald again. Mm-hmm. He just lays it all out. He goes back and he gets every one of these absurd headlines and stories that came out. And they've just been totally debunked. And you know, it's crickets. It's nothing to see here, folks. Move along.
Yeah, and actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because Glenn Greenwald retweeted the Jim Acosta headline and he said, CNN and Jim Acosta attacking and maligning the reputation of a well-respected career civil servant who has served in multiple administrations because his investigation proved that CNN and Acosta peddled outright fabrications yet again for weeks rather than admit it, they smear.
Yeah, I mean, the NPR headline, I don't have it in front of me. It's in the pile of stuff here. I mean, it's just outrageous. I mean, it was just stated as a fact, you know, over and over again that they cleared out this these peaceful demonstrators who'd been looting the park, ripping down statues, trying to set fire to the ancient church that was nearby. I mean, how dare they tear gas these lovely people? The mostly peaceful rioters and arsonists and looters.
Yeah, and Howie and I started going through some of the fake news that had happened over the last 4 years, really 5 years now. And it's just insane when you think about how many stories they invested so much into, they got so heated about. And then when they turn out to be false, nobody admits like, oh, we were wrong. Instead, they double down and say, well, he must be corrupt. The IG's in the wrong. It's like, well, you've been wrong 10 out of 10 times so far. So maybe it's you guys.
I keep thinking to myself, when these people have won the Pulitzer Prize for the Russian collusion hoax story in the New York Times, the Washington Post, when they die, the obituary is going to say, so-and-so who won the Pulitzer Prize in 2017, like they won it for something that was worthwhile rather than a scam. That's like saying Bernie Madoff once one of Wall Street's greatest investors, you know?
Full stop.
I mean,
nothing more to add.
What is the difference?
No,
they were
you're
both scam
right.
artists.
But then when you start breaking down the fake news, it's easy to go right to the Russia probe and all of those big stories, you know, Michael Cohen in Prague, the big ones. But there was also a lot of little ones, like with the koi pond. Oh, Trump fed the fish with the entire box of fish food.
He was trying to kill those beautiful fish.
And that turned out to be fake. And that's just one of the small, like more subtle fake news stories. Or Trump spent Thanksgiving golfing and tweeting. And then you find out, oh no, him and Melania actually went to go visit the troops. It's just story after story. They all go in one direction.
Funny how that works.
Indeed. All right, more to cover in Howie Carr Show coming up next. Don't go anywhere. I'll be gone tomorrow, but make sure you tune in to Holly Robichaud. Enjoy. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.